John Lewis passes away while Ruth Bader Ginsburg hangs on for dear life. Protesters attempt to take down a 40-foot statue in Chicago. A new job board helps people who have been fired by the outrage mob get jobs once again, and your host issues a retraction. I'm Jay Edgar, and this is Contemporary. Good morning and welcome back to Contemporary. I'm your host, Jay Edgar. We've got a bunch to get to today. It wasn't as busy of a news weekend as I thought it would be, but there's still a bunch that we need to talk about as we move along here. But before we get started, head on over to freedomscoop.com. Freedomscoop.com is going to be your one-stop shop for all of your news and commentary needs. We've got the generational gap. We've got the breakdown with Birkenhoff. We have got Stephen Ignoramus and all of his iterations. We have got The Freckles of Brit Show, The Art of Conservative, and much more. Come on over and check us all out over there. Pick up some of our swag and help support great creators and help us move along and take out some of the bias in the news. So we're going to start today looking at the stocks again. Looks like we had a little bit of a tumble over on Friday. Looks like they started out coming down right away from over the previous close and then just kind of held under the line a little bit. So a bad day on stocks, nonetheless, but it does look like we are looking good on futures right now, so let's see what IBD has to say. Another commercial. They love commercials over there. Uh-oh. They may have taken me out for reading their articles too often. I didn't even see that when I started out. Let's see if we can get this to start up again. I hope they didn't go subscription based. Uh-oh. Well, we will figure that out off the air. That's a little embarrassing to come and figure out right in the middle of everything here. Okay. We'll figure that out later. But we'll move along here from the news here from MarketWatch. Dow futures edge lower as Wall Street braces for busy earnings week. From Mark to Cambry. U.S. stocks on Monday pointed to a lower opening as investors brace for a barrage of quarterly results from corporations over the coming days. More than 480 companies are slated to report updates, including a number of prominent technology-related firms. Futures for the Dow Jones Industrial Average were 31 points or 0.1% lower at 26,489. Those for the S&P 500 index receded 4.4 points or 0.1% at 3,209.25, while NASDAQ 100 futures were 2,475 points or 0.2% higher at 10,647.25. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finished 2.3% higher, the S&P 500 booked a gain of 1.3%, and the NASDAQ Composite Index lost 1.1%. That's not what the graph just showed me. So I wonder what's going on with there and what they're seeing on that. Because I saw something completely different on that graph. But let's keep going here. What's driving the market? Wall Street is set to kick off a busy week of corporate earnings, which could help determine whether so-called rotation from high-flying technology stocks and into beaten-down cyclicals is sustainable, with coronavirus cases and deaths in this country continuing to reach records over the weekend. North Carolina, Louisiana, Kentucky, reported record infections of COVID-19 of 3,119 and 979 respectively on Sunday. The Wall Street Journal reported, while Arizona registered a record high death tally of 147 deaths. Meanwhile, Florida, the epicenter of the U.S., reported a nearly 7-day average of 12,000 cases, surging by nearly 30% according to CNBC, citing data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. The escalation of the not-so-deadly pandemic in the U.S. is diminishing hopes for a V-shaped or quick, strong economic recovery from the pandemic, as the virus taxes the public health system of some states and municipalities and forces the reinstallation of measures to limit a more severe outbreak. Shares of AstraZeneca were being closely watched as investors prepare for the release of Phase 1 clinical trial for COVID-19 vaccine candidates being developed by the drug maker and the UK's University of Oxford. The first set of trial data is expected to be published Monday in The Lancet, a British medical journal, according to Reuters. Investors will also parse data from corporations including Microsoft and Intel among a parade of entities that will offer greater insight about the economic outlook as American corporations contend with the worst pandemic in more than 100 years. Market participants are also watching developments around stimulus funds here and now in the U.S., with the European Union leaders in Brussels negotiating an unprecedented 1.85 trillion euros, $2.1 trillion budget, and coronavirus recovery funds to tackle the crisis. EU leaders were said to be close to a rescue package after four governments, Austria, Netherlands, Denmark, and Sweden, also known as the Frugal Four, appear to be close to agreeing to a split between grants and loans that had stalled talks over the weekend, according to Bloomberg News. So they are going to try and shove this coronavirus thing right back down your throat and make you afraid forever, because they can't open back up until after the election, because if they open back up, the Donald might be out having rallies again and telling people exactly what he wants to do for the next 4 years. And you gotta look at some of this too and think about some of this. First off, California looks for any excuse that they can use to have any sort of draconian lockdown. That's California. That's of course what we're going to see out of them. But look at where everything else is surging. Texas, Arizona, Republican strongholds that people are trying to flip over to the blue side. Florida, where the president's next rally and the RNC were supposed to be scheduled. This doesn't seem to be accidental by any stretch of the imagination whatsoever. And of course, you're seeing the outbreaks and upticks in places that didn't have as much of the protesting either. Keep that in mind as well. And yet, the medical officials are not, when they're contact tracing, allowed to ask if you were to any sort of rally or not. So, yeah, there's a lot of funny stuff going on with this, and a lot of people say, well, the rest of the world has a handle on it. Well, the rest of the world isn't trying to unseat an unpopular president right now. So there are a couple other things at play here. I don't think this is all organic or generic. All right, I have got to issue a retraction as to what I said on Friday, but first we're going to read from 9 and 10 News. So we know what I'm issuing a retraction for. Federal officers face criticism for response to civil rights protests in Portland. From Meredith St. Henry. Civil rights protests continue across the nation, now in Portland, Oregon. The way law enforcement is handling protests is drawing concern from top lawmakers. Federal law enforcement officers were captured on video beating a Navy veteran. The veteran, Chris David, is shown standing with his hands by his sides when police start hitting him. Now David's hand is fractured. No mention on what David did before this. And Portland's mayor, Ted Wheeler, believes the federal response to protests is making the situation worse. People are literally being scooped off the street into unmarked vans, rental cars, and apparently, Wheeler says, they're being denied probable cause and due process. They don't know who is pulling them into the vans. The people are not identifying themselves. So, I went in and I said, okay, this is just a hoax, this is something set up, and there's a part of me that still believes that this is all a setup, this is people just out cosplaying as military personnel. But what the news didn't tell you, and what I didn't find out until after I turned the camera off on Friday, was the fact that, as we're looking at this, now, when everybody out was out protesting, rioting, and destroying city buildings, private property, and state buildings, and Portland, Oregon, nobody said a goddamn word. What they didn't tell you in any of the articles or anything that I read over on Friday was the fact that these people were going after federal buildings in Portland. So yes, that is going to net a federal response. The news story that I read on Friday didn't bother to tell you that they were barricading off the doors in front of a federal building, getting ready to burn the thing down with everybody in there. Not barricading so no one could go in, but barricading so nobody could get out. So, the Border Patrol got up in their gear, and this was some elite version of Border Patrol, got up, got in their gear, and I don't know where they were getting this unmarked thing from. I saw the videos once again, and yeah, big gold letters across the chest that said police. Scooping people up, bringing them in, detaining them, but not arresting them. So no need for Mirandize at that point because they're not under arrest. They're not even being questioned. Just picking them up and putting them back out up on the streets. Long enough to calm them down, essentially. So yeah, there's a lot going on here. And if you attack federal property, it's not non-libertarian to say that the federal government has a responsibility to respond. Now, I've also heard some other things out there. Some other people saying that this possibly was an inside thing as well. We have military personnel going out. The video that you saw them just picking some guy up and he was just totally calmly going along with them as he got picked up. Because he was an informant that was watching the Antifa protests out there and reporting back to the federal government and the law enforcement agencies as well. So they went out there and they just scooped him up and dumped him in a van to get him out of a hairy situation. There are a whole lot of things that were going on with this, but yeah. This apparently was a real thing. I still have some of my doubts, but after seeing the fact that they were going after a federal building, not private property anymore, now it makes more sense, and now it's not just Trump's little occupying army, he's going to be the law and order guy. This was actually people defending federal property. So, that's my retraction for the day, and I apologize for not getting the news right the first time, but let's keep going on down the road and talk about some more Portland rioters. Watch Portland rioters overwhelm cops, torch police union headquarters from Emily Zanotti. Portland protesters, led by the anti-fascist group Pacific Northwest Youth Liberation Front, threatened police and set a number of fires in the city's downtown Saturday night, leaving Portland police to declare the demonstration a riot. The incident, caught on video by reporters on the scene, marked the 52nd night of unrest in Portland. Friday night, federal officers, members of an elite Customs and Border Protection union, moved in to assist Portland's law enforcement officers in protecting a federal courthouse, one of the rioters' top targets in these past several months. The officers detained several of the protesters Friday night, but were largely absent Saturday night, leaving Portland police to handle the unrest alone. Protesters broke into a building, set fire, and started dumpster fires late Saturday night in Oregon's largest city, Fox News reported. The fire at the Portland Police Association building was put out a short time later, Portland police said on Twitter. The department declared the gathering a riot and began working to clear the downtown area. In North Portland, the PNW, Youth Liberation Front, an organized group that has been leading demonstrations over the course of the past 2 months, hosted a protest to demand the abolition of Portland Police Bureau and decry violence against people of color. After an evening gathering at Peninsula Park, marchers headed south on Interstate Avenue, stretching out for about 5 blocks, Oregon Live added. The group eventually ended up at the Portland Police Union headquarters. They then began tipping dumpsters to form a barricade for themselves as they attacked the building. Two of the dumpsters were set on fire, and protesters who breached the building eventually set two small fires inside. By 10:45, Portland Police Department declared the incident a riot around 11:15 p.m., police began pressing protesters to the east. Most protesters did not resist. Police took multiple people into custody, Oregon Live reported. Video of the protests and subsequent fires made it onto social media quickly. So, yeah, they're going after the federal property, and, I mean, this is no longer a state of Oregon or a city of Portland issue once they start going after that federal courthouse, and the federal government has the right to defend their own property. Now, if you don't like that and you want to make it more libertarian so that, oh, well, the federal government can't step in for anything, well, then pass an amendment to make it illegal for the federal government to own any land. Problem solved. Then that does go back to become a state's rights issue, but then we will get to see these rioters go and burn down the rest of the state. So, yeah, absolutely. All right, let's keep going on in here into some of the bigger news of the day. From CNN, civil rights legend Representative John Lewis dead at 80 from Suzanne Malveaux, Lauren Fox, Faith Karimi, and Brandon Griggs, four people to write one article. John Robert Lewis, the son of sharecroppers who survived a brutal beating by police during a landmark 1965 march in Selma, Alabama, to become a towering figure on the civil rights movement and a longtime U.S. congressman, has died after a six-month battle with cancer. He was 80. It is with inconsolable grief and enduring sadness that we announce the passing of U.S. Representative John Lewis. His family said in a statement, he was honored and respected as the conscience of the U.S. Congress. Bullshit. and an icon of American history, but we knew him as a loving father and a brother. He was a stalwart champion in the ongoing struggle to demand respect for the dignity and worth of every human being. He dedicated his entire life to nonviolent activism and was an outspoken advocate in the struggle for equal justice in America. He will be deeply missed. Lewis died on the same day as the civil rights leader, the Reverend Cordy Tyndall, C.T. Vivian, who was 95. The dual deaths of the civil rights icons come as the nation is still grappling with racial upheaval that's mostly engineered by the people in the government in the wake of the death of George Floyd and the subsequent Black Lives Matter protests that have swept the nation. It's another heartbreak in a year filled with them as America mourns the death of nearly 140,000 Americans from or associated with COVID-19 and struggles to bring the virus under control. Citation needed, please. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced his death in a statement. Today, America mourns the death of the greatest heroes of American history. Congressman John Lewis, the conscience of the Congress, the California Democrat said. Lewis had vowed to fight the disease after announcing in late December of 2019 he had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which was discovered as a result of a routine medical visit and subsequent testing. I have been some kind of fight for freedom, equality, basic human rights for nearly my entire life. I've never faced quite a fight like this one. I have now, he said in a statement at the time. Lewis, a Democrat who has served as U.S. Representative for Georgia's 5th, for more than 3 decades, was widely seen as a moral conscience of Congress because of his decades-long embodiment of nonviolent fight for civil rights. His passionate oratory was backed by a long record of action that included, by his count, more than 40 arrests while demonstrating against racial and social injustice. So, and civil rights are a good thing, absolutely, and we need to do more in the country to make sure that they are maintained, but as he aged, Lewis became less of an activist and more of the swamp, more of a member of the system, and more of what was going in there, making sure that the system kept in place what the government had been trying to keep in place since the end of the Civil War. So there's a lot of give and take that goes along with John Lewis. Now, of course, my heart goes out to him and his passing and his family. And we did, on all accounts, lose an icon. Absolutely. He's been there for 30 years. An icon to why we need term limits, obviously. But, I mean, he's been in this. He's been alongside of this. I have a lot of mixed feelings about John Lewis. I really do. First off, yeah, he was a champion of civil rights. Absolutely. He was right up there with King. But he was a part of the system. So, which way we want to take it, it'll depend on you. I've got mixed feelings. But so do some of the mainstream news outlets, including Marco Rubio from the Washington Post, archived through archive.today. Marco Rubio, Dan Sullivan, paid tribute to John Lewis using the photo of a different black congressman. From Colby Itkowitz. Like many of their colleagues, GOP Senators Marco Rubio and Dan Sullivan posted tributes to Representative John Lewis on Saturday and aimed to include photos of themselves with the civil rights icon who died Friday. Rubio even made the image his Twitter profile picture. There was just one problem. The photos they each posted were of Representative Elijah E. Cummings, who died in October. It was an honor to know and be blessed with the opportunity to serve in Congress with John Lewis, a genuine historic American hero, Rubio tweeted, with the photo of himself and Cummings. It was an honor to have served alongside John for a small portion of his impressive career of service, and to have joined him at the opening of the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. Years-long effort by the congressman, Sullivan wrote on a Facebook, with the photo of himself and Cummings outside the museum. The response on Twitter was a mix of anger and ridicule, with many users posting photos of the various white Republican congressmen and labeling them Rubio, whose blunder happened first. Others chided the senators for the faux pas mixing up the two people of color, especially given that they had interacted with the both of them in person. Rubio and Sullivan weren't the first to mix up the two men. It happened so often that Lewis even mentioned it in a tribute to Cummings on the House floor after his death. Sometimes people would confuse us and say, "Hello, Elijah," to me, or "Hello, John Lewis," to him, Lewis said, and we would joke about it, we would laugh about it. So, of course, the internet online mob had to go up and go after the two of them for making this big thing happen and making this big faux pas, and yep, it was a faux pas. I will say that. If you are going to, especially if you're in that much of the public light like Marco Rubio is, if you're going to make that kind of a post, make sure you have the right person in there, especially in this environment. Twitter and social media are going to ridicule you. And I mean, this is going to be forgotten in a couple weeks anyway, because something else is going to pop up in the news to try and keep us from paying attention to Tara Reid. But, you know, up on top of this, especially if you've got that public of a profile, just make sure you've got the right guy in the picture, because they are looking for anything they can use to go up against the GOP right now. And that is going to be just one of the things that's going to jump alongside of it. All right, let's keep going here. A couple more about John Lewis here from Newsweek. Florida governor refuses to answer question about John Lewis's death, from Matt Keeley. At a Saturday press conference, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida refused to answer questions about civil rights leader John Lewis' death. We saw last night that Congressman John Lewis passed away. He's a civil rights icon. You know, this is happening amidst heated conversation in this country about race, monuments, flags, the unidentified reporter asked, segueing into speaking about a recent vote to remove Confederate Memorial, according to the Tampa Bay Times. All right, yeah, I appreciate the question, but we're trying to focus on the coronavirus. I appreciate it, but I'm not going to let someone ask about it. Do you have a question about the topic at hand? DeSantis interrupted before calling on another reporter. Lewis died late Friday evening at 80 from pancreatic cancer. He was a leader of the 1960s civil rights movement and marched with Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. in a 1965 protest for black voting rights in Selma, Alabama. State police attacked Lewis and fractured his skull. He joined the House of Representatives in 1985, representing Georgia's 5th District. Lewis famously sparred with President Trump, choosing to skip Trump's January 2017 inauguration, and said Trump was an illegitimate president. I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president, Lewis said a week before his inauguration on Meet the Press. I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected and have destroyed the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here, and this guy was an activist, just the same as the rest of them. But he was an activist for his entire life, too. Sometimes activism is good, and sometimes it happens bad. So, a couple things going along with this as well. But going back to DeSantis and the headline of this, I mean, you got to be able to think on your feet. And it doesn't look like he did very well in this particular instance, and for the most part, he has been, but he's got something else going on hand, and they are trying to target his state right now with coronavirus news. So there are a couple things going on with DeSantis right now, and he's got a lot on his plate. I can't blame him for being completely unable to think on his feet. You know, everyone else would get frustrated too, and nobody thinks about that. All right, let's keep going. Last one about John Lewis from Fox News. Senate should pass a bill restoring Voting Rights Act to honor John Lewis, Rep. Clyburn says, from Andrew O'Reilly. House Majority Whip James Clyburn said Sunday that if President Trump and Senate Republicans want to honor the life of the late Representative John Lewis, they should pass a bill restoring the Voting Rights Act. I think Trump and Senate leadership, Mitch McConnell, if they so want to celebrate the heroism of this man, then let's go to work and pass the bill, Clyburn said on CNN's State of the Union, in a reference to a bill the House passed in December that would restore the Voting Rights Act. Lewis, a civil rights movement legend and longtime congressman, died last week at the age of 80 after a big battle with pancreatic cancer. Following his death, condolences poured in from both sides of the political divide for a man whose bloody beating by Alabama state troopers in 1965 helped galvanize opposition to racial segregation. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Lewis was a pioneering civil rights leader who put his life on the line to fight racism, promote equal rights, and bring our nation into greater alignment with the founding principles. Clyburn argued on Sunday that the bill the House passed in December is laid out in the way that the Supreme Court asked us to in its 2013 Shelby County versus Holder decision that invalidated a key portion of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. If the president were to sign that, then I think that's what we'll do to honor John, he said. It should be the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Act of 2020. Wow, I am having a struggle session at reading today. That's the way to do it. Words may be powerful, but deeds are lasting. If signed into law, the bill would amend the 1965 law to impose new obligation on states and local jurisdictions, essentially reversing a 2013 Supreme Court decision that tossed out a preclearance provision that determined which jurisdictions needed federal oversights of elections. The bill was approved 228-187 with just one Republican, Pennsylvania Rep. Brian Fitzpatrick, joining the Democrats in voting to approve this legislation. Lewis announced the tally in a sign of importance Democrat leaders placed on the measure. So, yeah, there's a couple things going on with this, and I do remember reporting on the Voting Rights Act last year when it all happened, which was 10,000 years ago in coronavirus time. But yes, the Voting Rights Act definitely, and it was overturned in 2013. But what it does, essentially, is it federalizes elections. It's got a provision in there for national voter ID barring, and it makes sure that the federal government takes over elections that they see as troubling for their cause. So, yes, no better time to stand on the grave of your fellow colleague than to run out and go out and try and get a bill passed that would essentially eliminate Republican leadership in the federal government for a very, very long time. So, yeah, absolutely. Don't let anything go to waste. Don't let a good crisis go to waste, and don't let a good tragedy go to waste. All right. Speaking of people who are older than dirt and still hanging on, we read now from CNN: Ruth Bader Ginsburg announces cancer recurrence will remain on the Supreme Court. From Dan Berman: Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said Friday she is undergoing chemotherapy to treat a recurrence of cancer. The treatment is yielding positive results, the 87-year-old liberal justice said in a statement, adding that she remains fully able to continue in her post. Owing to her age and long medical history, Ginsburg Health is the subject of widespread interest given her status as a liberal icon. The prospect that President Trump could name a third justice to the Supreme Court would also be a major election issue. Earlier this week, Ginsburg was treated at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore after having a fever and chills and undergoing endoscopic procedure to clean out a bile duct stent that was placed last August, the court said at the time. Ginsburg said her cancer treatment is unrelated to this week's incident. Ginsburg was also in the hospital in early May. At the time, she participated in oral arguments from her hospital bed, asking questions in a case concerning Obamacare's so-called contraceptive mandate. Friday's statement indicates the pancreatic cancer Ginsburg was treated for in 2009 has returned again, this time in her liver, and that she has tried one of the new immunotherapies for cancer, but it failed to shrink the tumors. It is not liver cancer. Gemcitabine is a standard chemotherapy treatment that is a mainstay for pancreatic cancer that has spread. Ginsburg has had several bouts with cancer. She has radiation therapy for the pancreatic cancer in 2019 and had some tumors taken out of a lung in 2018. She had colon cancer in 1999. All right, and there are some points here where you just need to step in and say, okay, it's time. And this is one of those. This woman claims that she can still go fully up to her live fully up to her duties as the Supreme Court. And I have to wonder which staffer is actually doing her duties in the Supreme Court right now, because there is no way in hell it's her. There comes a time where it comes time to look up and say, okay, Grandma, it's time to step down. It's time to go on. Spend some time with your family. You've done enough. You've done enough activism. It's time to go and step down and just, you know, go spend some time. But no, she is going to hang on forever because she sold her soul to the devil or something. I have no idea what's going on with this woman, but a couple other things that we need to keep in mind here as well. First off, this is a ploy to keep Trump from getting that next justice, because this is going to be an election issue. And I do think that this is going to wind up being the October surprise. I legitimately think that she's either going to pass away in October or September, maybe, or step down entirely and say that's what it is. Because think of the election issue that you're going to get out of this. Number two, you are going to see the country burn. You think the riots that we saw or George Floyd were something? They were nothing compared to what we are going to see if Ginsburg retires from the bench or dies before Trump is out of office. You are going to see this country in flames because Trump might put somebody up who's going to throw the red robes on everybody. He's going to be the evil dictator that we all thought he was going to be. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the only person that's standing in his way. Now, a couple things to think about as well on that. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg steps down, that means that it's time for them to come out and make the attack ads to say, well, you don't want President Trump to get another Supreme Court justice, do you? And we have to have the Senate so we can get our pure of heart activist that is completely impartial up on the Supreme Court. Otherwise, they're just going to block whoever Joe Biden puts up. So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on here. And yeah, I really think that this election is going to, whether she steps down or not, or whether she dies or not, this whole election is going to revolve around, once we get to that point and it gets right down to the wire, it's going to revolve around this woman right here. This ancient woman right here, who apparently can still do planks. All right, let's keep going here. Speaking of election results, from the New York Post, from Tamara Lapin, Trump won't say whether he'll accept 2020 election results. And I actually have a video of him saying just that, but we'll listen to this first. President Trump on Sunday declined to say whether he will accept the results of the 2020 election, adding that he will have to see. The president also claimed without evidence that mail-in voting is going to rig the election during an interview aired on Fox News Sunday. In response, Fox News host Chris Wallace asked, "Are you suggesting that you might not accept the results of the election?" "No, I'll have to see," Trump replied before saying it was Hillary Clinton who never accepted her 2016 loss and looks like a fool. "But can you give me a direct answer that you'll accept the election?" Wallace pushed. Trump responded that, "I have to see. Look, you, I have to see. No, I'm not going to just say yes. I'm not going to say no, and I didn't last time either," he added, referring to being asked the same question in the 2016 election. During a wide-ranging sit-down, Wallace debuted the results of Fox News' latest national poll, which showed Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden leading Trump by 8 points. The commander-in-chief downplayed the findings as fake polls. "First of all, I'm not losing because there are fake polls. They were fake in 2016, and now they're even more fake." Later in the interview, Trump was asked whether he was a good loser generally. "I'm not a good loser. I don't like to lose. I don't lose too often. I don't like to lose," Trump responded. So he's pretty confident going into this, and I don't know. I do still want to go into the election feeling like you're 10 points down, but that is going to be the danger, is I don't know who is going to accept the results of the election and who isn't. Because just like he said, Hillary didn't accept the results of the election, even though it was the Donald that was posed the question. Hillary never was. But let's hear what they actually had to say off of this. So let me go over here and get your ears on, and we will have a listen.
Than Russia, and the European Union has us on a travel ban.
Yeah, I think what we'll do, well, we have them on a travel ban too, Chris. I closed them off. If you remember, I was the one that did the European Union very early. But when you talk about mortality rates, I think it's the opposite. I think we have one of the lowest mortality
It's not
rates
true,
in the
sir.
world.
We
Well, we're going to take a look.
we had 900 deaths on a single day
We will take a
this
look.
week.
Ready?
You can check
Could
it
you
out.
please get me the mortality rate?
Yeah.
Kaylee's right here. I heard we had one of the lowest, maybe the lowest mortality rate anywhere in the world. You have the numbers, please? Because I heard we had the best mortality rate.
The case data of similarly situated countries, as Dr. Birx points out, and this is
Number one low mortality rate. I hope you show the scenario because it shows what fake news is all about.
Okay,
okay, go
I don't
ahead.
think I'm fake news, but
Okay.
I will put
Well,
our
there you were.
we'll put our stats
You
on.
said we had the worst mortality rate in the world,
I
and we
said
have
you
the
had
best.
the
All right, it's a little complicated, but bear with us.
We went with numbers from Johns Hopkins University, which charted the mortality rate for 20 countries hit by the virus. The U.S. ranked 7th, better than the United Kingdom, but worse than Brazil and Russia. The White House went with this chart from the European CDC, which shows Italy and Spain doing worse, but countries like Brazil and...
All right, so that had nothing to do with him refusing to accept the election results, but it was still funny to watch. Absolutely. So, even though this, I got a fake news myself because I thought that video was going to be Trump refusing to accept the results of the election. All right, let's get the live chat back up here and let's keep going. All right, let's go back and talk a little bit more about the riots and the protests here. From Fox News, Seattle rioters seen damaging, looting stores. Police say fire sparked a precinct officer hospitalized from Bradford Pets. At least two people were arrested in Seattle, and a police officer is in the hospital Sunday after a march through downtown devolved into property damage and looting, police said. Police said Sunday the evening the demonstrators had broken out several windows of the East Precinct and threw a device into the lobby that ignited a small fire. The fire was later extinguished and no injuries were reported, police said. The demonstration started between 2 and 3 p.m. near the intersection of 3rd Avenue and Pine Street. The photo posted on Seattle's DOT traffic channel showed crowds blocking an intersection. Are they going to try this again? Are they actually going to try this again? Because I kind of want to see it. Around 2:30 p.m., Seattle journalist Katie Davis-Court tweeted a video of a crowd of people outside an Amazon Go building. Several people were seen spray painting the building while others tried to smash the windows. Well, that's because Jeff Bezos pays no taxes, don't you know? Antifa militants and Black Lives Matter rioters are breaking into Amazon Go downtown Seattle, Davis-Court tweeted. The protest has turned into a riot. Seattle police tweeted shortly before 5 p.m. that the crowd had continued to march on Pike Street from downtown and two people have been arrested outside the West Precinct. Police said demonstrators had thrown rocks, bottles, and other items at officers, and at least one officer had been transported to the hospital. A video clip was posted on Twitter by Elizabeth Turnbull, shows the smashed doors to a Walgreens on Pine before Broadway. Seattle police were working to block off an entrance to Interstate 5 so protesters could not enter, Seattle's King TV reported. Police said demonstrators had gone from Westlake Park to the municipal courthouse and then headed back north to the West Precinct, leaving behind a trail of property destruction. They're going to try it again, aren't they? They absolutely are. And I want to see it happen again. So we've got, more news coming out of Seattle and... We'll see what happens with this, see if the police come in, if Durkin comes in and actually shuts it down this time, or if she gets recalled and the next mayor comes in and lets them destroy the city, which is a beautiful city, or if they keep trying to bait Trump up into it. Who knows? We will see. Out of Chicago, though, from WGN9, large protest erupts at Christopher Columbus statue in Grant Park. A large protest erupted at the Christopher Columbus statue in Grant Park on Friday night. Officers were hit by fireworks and other items as they guarded the statue. Chicago police said 18 officers were injured, and 12 protesters have been taken into custody. The protest started nearing Buckingham Fountain and marched south. Officers left the statue as protesters attempted to bring it down. They returned to the statue after reports pepper spray was deployed. Chicago police brought in SWAT officers after the group tried to pull the statue down. 4 civilians were transported to the Northwestern Medicine. Their conditions are unknown. Yeah, they're trying. You can see it right there. And that's a big-ass statue. That's not like one of these 6-foot ones like the brass one that busted that dude's head open. This'll kill people if they manage to get it down. And somebody's standing right in the middle of it. This'll actually kill somebody. Several people, but they don't care because the evil, evil Columbus has got to come down. Yeah, look at all that. A 40-foot statue they're trying to pull down with no training as to how to take statues down. And of course, no vote in Chicago as to whether or not it should come down in the first place, but no training as to how to take a statue down. My God. All right. Speaking of statues, Jesus statue beheaded at Catholic Church in Miami-Dade, from the Associated Press via Channel 6, South Florida. Someone beheaded the statue of Jesus Christ in the courtyard of a South Florida church, an act of vandalism now being investigated by the Miami-Dade Police and the Department of Homeland Security. The statue was destroyed between Tuesday night and Wednesday in the courtyard of the Good Shepherd Catholic Church in West Kendall. This was an attack on the church, Mary Ross Augusta, a spokeswoman for the Archdiocese of Miami, told the Miami Herald. This is not only private property, it is sacred property. The statue's head was found on the ground just before 8 a.m. on Wednesday, she said. This is not something you can trip over and say, oh, sorry, she said. Someone did this intentionally. She said surveillance video had been handed over to the police. People find peace at these types of places, especially during these times, police spokesman Argemis Colomb told the newspaper. We want to ensure the community that the MDPD will look into the matter so people can continue to feel safe. Man, if you want a war in this country, you're going right down the edge of it. And I don't know what you... I mean, I know that Sean King is out there running his mouth telling us, everybody, that Jesus Christ is racist. And we saw when we did the last episode of Ed's World with Stephen Ignoramus. We watched that video of the guy coming in saying, with the bullhorn, whoa, Jesus was a real person. His name was Horus, and he was plagiarized from the ancient Egyptians. And I got a bet. And that's a nice shirt. Thank you. So, yeah, if you want to incite a war against people, and think about what you're doing off of this, no matter what the color of the skin of the person that's standing on the statue is, which it looks pretty fucking gray to me when you look at this. If you go out and look at this, the more religious communities in this country right now are not the white people. As much as they're trying to come out and tell you that Christianity is just a white supremacy religion, if you really look down the demographics, the most religious, the Pentecostal, the Baptist, especially the fire and brimstone types in this country are black or Hispanic. Especially in some of these communities. I mean, once again, you wouldn't believe it from what the news is telling you, but especially on the Pentecostal faith, it's a very black religion. And it's... I cannot understand the idea of trying to topple that statue and behead the statue of Jesus in these trying times. That would be the one that I would be trying my hardest to keep up. But that's because it unifies people. And I do think that we're getting to the point that they don't want people unified anymore because once they start getting divided, that means that the order is broken down and they can install the people to be dictators that they want to be dictators. So, yeah, this is not good stuff. Let's keep going, though. Oh, I found this interesting. This isn't exactly news. I just ran across this right before the show and I wanted to throw it in here. From the New York Post, from Michael Goodwin, the family that owns the New York Times were slaveholders. It's far worse than I thought. In addition to the many links between the family that owns the New York Times and the Civil War Confederacy, new evidence shows that members of the extended family were slaveholders. Last Sunday, I recounted that Bertha Levy Ox, the mother of the Times patriarch Adolph S. Ox, supported the South in slavery. She was caught smuggling medicine to the Confederates in baby carriage, and her brother Oscar joined the rebel army. I have since learned that according to a family history, Oscar Levy fought alongside the two Mississippi cousins, meaning that at least three members of Bertha's family fought for the secession. Adolph Ox's own Southern sympathies were reflected in the content of the Chattanooga Times, the first newspaper he owned, and then the New York Times. The latter published an editorial in 1900 saying the Democratic Party, which Ox supported, justly insist that the evils of Negro suffrage were wantonly inflicted on them. 6 years later, the Times published a glowing profile of Confederate President Jefferson Davis on the 100th anniversary of his birth. calling him the greatest Southern leader. Ox reportedly made contributions to rebel memorials, including $1,000 to the enormous stone monument or Mountain Memorial in Georgia that celebrates Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson. He made the donation in 1924 so his mother, who died 16 years earlier, could be on the founder's roll, adding in a letter that Robert E. Lee was her idol. In the years before his death in 1931, Ox's brother George was simultaneously an officer of the New York Times Company and a leader in the New York chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. All that would be bad enough given the same family still owns the Times and allows it to become the leader in the movement to demonize America's founding and rewrite history to put slavery at its core. As part of the revisionism, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln are suddenly beyond redemption, their great deeds canceled by their flaws. But shouldn't such heartbreaking self-righteousness include the responsibility to lead by example? Shouldn't the Times first clean out the Confederates in its own closet? So, that's where I'm going to stop on that one there. But yeah, absolutely, it does appear that, and we all know it anyway. I mean, the New York Times, who railed against the fact that Mount Rushmore was built on Indian land that was stolen from the Indians, is built on land that was bought from Native Americans for a handful of beads. And they do have slavery and Southern sympathy at their core, so I thought that was interesting. I thought you guys would find that interesting as well. Let's keep going. From the Daily Wire, Keisha Lance Bottoms says GOP governor acting bizarre suggests possibility of sexism, from Eric Quintanar. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, who was reportedly undergoing vetting for the 2020 Democratic presidential ticket, said that Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is behaving bizarrely and also suggested his recent decision to filing a lawsuit against Atlanta could have been motivated in sexism. What were the other ones motivated in? The governor has done many things as of late and has said many things as of late that, quite frankly, are simply bizarre, Bottoms told CBS News on Sunday. As previously highlighted by, the Daily Caller, he filed a 124-plus-page lawsuit against me this week calling for an emergency injunction to stop me from speaking about his orders. This blame claim is most unusual. There were other cities in our state who instituted mask mandates that he did not push back against them. I don't know if it's because perhaps they were led by men or if it's perhaps because of the demographic in the city of Atlanta, said Bottoms, using a vague term to suggest the race, age, or income level of the people of Atlanta could also be a factor. As the Daily Wire previously reported, Kemp filed a lawsuit against Atlanta last week in order to prevent Bottoms from enforcing the city's mask mandate. In a statement, Attorney General Chris Carr indicated that the lawsuit was about Atlanta's decision to knowingly enter orders that are enforceable and void. And, like I said, right from the beginning, this was a bad idea, and now they're going to go and use it to weaponize it against him and the rest of the GOP. Never let a good crisis go to waste, as they always say, and that's what they're going to do. Not let a good crisis go to waste and use this in order to go and beat up some more people that they don't like. And just imagine what they would be doing to Jo Jorgensen if she made it up onto the debate stage, which I really hope she does at this point. I hope that we see Jo on the debate stage, and I don't want to see Jorgensen get elected. But I really, really want to see her on the debate stage. Just so you can see how unhinged the left is going to get when they are fighting a two-front war, not just a one-front war. All right, let's keep going here. From CNBC, Fauci holds up New York as a model for fighting the coronavirus. They did it correctly, from Yelena Genova. White House Health Advisor Anthony Fauci has praised New York for its handling of the coronavirus pandemic, saying the state responded correctly to bring its outbreak under control. We know that when you do it properly, you bring down these cases. We've done it. We've done it in New York, Fauci said in an interview with PBS NewsHour that aired on Friday evening. New York got hit worse than any other place in the world, and they did it correctly by doing things that you're talking about, he continued. New York was once the epicenter of the outbreak in the United States, with more than 10,000 new cases a day during its peak in the outbreak in April. The state has dramatically reduced the daily new infections to 776 as of Thursday, because the president is not going to hold a rally there. New York is one of nine U.S. states that has the virus under control, because it's state that is absolutely guaranteed for Biden. According to the tracking project at COVID Act Now, less than 1% of New Yorkers tested for the virus were positive on Thursday, down from a high of more than 40%. Governor Cuomo instituted some of the strictest reopening requirements in the country, insisting that stay-at-home orders remain in place and many businesses remain closed far longer than states that are now seeing surges, such as Texas and Florida, which ironically are both being attempted to flip blue right now. More than 400,000 New Yorkers have been infected with the virus since the pandemic began, and at least 32,463 people have died in the state. New York is scheduled to enter Phase 4 on Monday, the next stage of reopening that allows outdoor activities like zoos, outdoor films, and gardens. Indoor restaurants, bars, museums, and malls will remain closed, Cuomo said on Friday. "I'm so proud of what New Yorkers have done, but we must continue to be on alert," Cuomo tweeted. Yeah. That's what we need to do. Exactly what New York did. Go live up on top of each other and go out and run out into Chinatown and have parades and have all this other stuff. Fauci, just stop. I understand that it's your job to be the most cautious about viruses, but you're not doing anybody any favors right now. Just stop. Nobody cares about you anymore. Let's keep going. Just got a couple more here, and then we'll do something that restores my faith in humanity. All right, from ABC News, federal judge's son shot and killed, husband injured in attack at their New Jersey home. Judge Esther Salas, who serves on the federal bench in New Jersey, was not hurt. From Josh Margolin and Aaron Katursky. The son of a federal judge in Newark, New Jersey, has been shot and killed, and her husband shot and injured in an attack on the family's home, according to law enforcement sources. The judge, Esther Salas, was not hurt. Francis Mack Womack, the mayor of New Brunswick, New Jersey, tells ABC News that the judge's son has died. The condition of the husband was not immediately known, Middlesex County Prosecutor Yolanda Cichone told ABC News. The judge's son opened the door and was immediately shot, sources said. He was shot through the heart, Womack said. The son was a freshman at Catholic University. The judge's husband was then shot multiple times, according to sources. The suspect remains at large, the law enforcement official said. Investigators have preliminary information that someone dressed as a FedEx driver arrived at the family home in New Brunswick about 5 p.m. Saturday, according to multiple law enforcement sources. The mayor said investigators are now trying to get a hard make on the vehicle and try to track the suspect. As a judge, she has threats from time to time, but everyone is saying that recently there have not been any, said Womack, who is personal friends with the judge and her husband. The investigation is being led by the FBI, which declined to comment. I don't know. No, they didn't say it on this particular article. But there's a reason that I put this in here, and it's not because some Latina judge was shot in New Jersey. This is one of the people that was going to sit on the bench for the hearing for Ghislaine Maxwell. This is somebody that was going to be sitting and hearing arguments about Maxwell. This was a federal judge in the district that Maxwell's going to be tried in. So, this was a statement. This was a statement. Absolutely. Epstein didn't kill himself, and Maxwell is probably going to. All right, let's keep going here. I got one more, and then we'll do something that restores my faith in humanity. From Fox Business, Cloudflare outage impacting major websites wasn't a cyber attack, company says.
Okay.
From Thomas Barabi. A global outage impacting web security provider Cloudflare and its clients was not the result of a cyber attack, the company said on Friday. Countless prominent websites and services were knocked offline for an extended period of Friday afternoon. Cloudflare coordinates traffic and provides cybersecurity for millions of web properties. This afternoon, we saw an outage across some parts of our network, Cloudflare said in its blog post addressing the situation. It was not as a result of an attack. It appears a router on our global backbone announced bad routes and caused some portions of the network to not be available. We believe we have addressed the root cause and are monitoring systems for stability now. The sweeping outage had prompted social media users to speculate about a coordinated cyber attack, such as a distributed denial of service, more commonly known as a DDoS. Impacted websites include a news outlet, Politico, online marketplace, Shopify, social media platform, Discord, and popular online video game, League of Legends. Cloudflare CEO Matthew Prince provided further detail about the situation in a series of tweets. It appears that a router in Atlanta had an error that caused bad routes across our backbone, Prince wrote. You'd think you'd have something else in place from that, to take care of that. Because that seemed, I mean, you saw a lot of stuff go down over this thing and people took notice of it. So you would think that there would be some sort of failsafe to make sure that if one router went down, you'd have something else to jump up in its place, but apparently not. The internet issues arose days after hackers took control of Twitter accounts of a number of prominent leaders in business and political, in an apparent bid to steal Bitcoin from their unsuspecting followers. The attack prompted Twitter to lock down the affected accounts and take a number of steps to secure its platform, including limiting activity for verified users for a period of time. Oh my god, yeah, that attack was just nuts. And we found out a lot about what's going on with Twitter and the fact that they can shadow ban people and how they shadow ban people, and the access that they have to everything. So, my god, there's a lot of moving parts on this, absolutely are. But they say that it wasn't an attack, it was just bad technology going bad. But yeah, I did see it too. I was trying to get onto Discord on Friday afternoon and it just kept going into, it lost its signal, and I thought maybe my IP, or not my IP, but my tech department at work had blocked Discord. But apparently that wasn't the case, and it was actually on Discord's end because of Cloudflare, so it did affect me. I did see it very briefly. They fixed it very quickly, but yeah, that was quite the thing. All right, and that is it for news. So from here, we're going to go on and do something that restores my faith in humanity. So this came to my attention because of this tweet here from Angela Giroux. Excuse me, let me be very clear. This is not okay. Responding with a screenshot, not necessarily going in and retweeting it, but with a screenshot that from Carlin Borisenko on Parler, Minds Gab at Carlin, at Dr. Carlin B. Someone has created an unwoke job board specifically for companies to hire people that just want to work and not be activists, and it's awesome. So this woman got ratioed to fuck, as you can see down on here, and a lot of us made her famous by jumping on this and retweeting this out there so everybody could go out and get a turn. I have no regrets for the fact that I did that, because everybody gets a turn on this. But this is not what restores my faith in humanity. What restores my faith in humanity is the job board itself. So we'll drop off at this here. Thank you, Angela Giroux, for doing this and bringing this up to my attention. So the website is unwoke.hr. I hope that everybody goes and checks it out, and I will be posting a link to it on the Discord in a dedicated channel. So if you guys know anybody that needs to get in there, get them in the Discord so they can come and see this, find it, and go out and onto this. Hire thinkers, not activists. Hire courageous, free-thinking, and freedom-loving individuals, not ideologues whose only agenda is to weaponize your brand and business to further a radical cause, just like we saw with Postmodern Jukebox last week. You can create a resume there. You've got a spot here for employers, which I'll be looking into a little bit later here. But there's an update from the creators of Unwoke, and this. Because I was going to report on this no matter what, I actually had the tweet up getting ready to go and read it, but I looked into it right before I went live, right before I went out of the show. And I read this statement, and this was, as soon as I read the statement, was what made this the thing that restores my faith in humanity. An update from the creators of Unwoke, to whom it may concern. We understand that a very small but loud group of people have taken serious offense by the Unwoke platform. We don't care. We'd find it jaw-dropping that so many people in that particular line of work, destruction, have been shouting for years about establishment hiring process where the ethnicity of a person is masked. Now, when we've created it, their heads suddenly explode because of how racist it is. It makes one wonder how dedicated to their principles they really are. Rhetorical question. To Vice Media, please remove your statements linking us to white supremacists, calling us dumb and deserving of being trolled to death. fail to do so, we'll have a nice defamation suit coming your way very soon. Trust us, serving you would be an absolute joy. To our users, thank you for the unimaginable level of support. The amount of love letters are in the thousands, and we're working diligently to reply to each and every one of you. Some people out there, including some media outlets, would like to have you believe that we've had a rocky start. We not only disagree, the whole notion is blatantly false. First of all, we weren't hacked, we were XSS attacked. Secondly, the email leak wasn't really a leak. We built the entire Unwoke platform over a weekend to see if the concept like this would stick. So of course, there were flaws, but trolls did us a favor by exposing our vulnerabilities. They put their findings on social media so we could fix everything immediately. Just brilliant work there. Free lunch as far as we're concerned, so stay tuned. A lot of new and exciting updates are coming very soon. What have we learned? Nothing. It only confirms what we already knew. That the people shouting are incapable of creation and only capable of destruction, and that the platform like Unwoke is desperately needed and desperately feared by the same people who seek to destroy it. Is the platform secure? Unequivocally, yes. Regards, the creators of Unwoke. So, and this is awesome. The fact of the matter is, people need to go to work. And that has been what the left has been attacking people on for years. And then they get pissed off when you go back and do the same thing back to them. But if you throw an opinion up there that they don't like online, that's the first thing they do is run out and try and dox you. Candace Owens was big on this, and she still is, of course, but she was big on this at the time when she was on the left, and even when she was on the right. If you express an opinion that she doesn't like, she's going to find out who you are, where you work. She's going to send the mob to your house, and she's going to make sure that you get fired from your job. They brag about this online, the fact that they do this. They put up the pictures that says, oh, this person no longer works here, and it's where cancel culture came from. And we have somebody down in the field, the people at Unwoke, who are working hard to make sure that we indeed bypass cancel culture and get the best people into the jobs that they're the best at. So this right here, this little website, restores my faith in humanity. And thank you to the people of Unwoke. And that is going to be all that we have for the day. So stick with us here. I'm going to go head on over and watch the Daily Ignoramus for a little while I make breakfast. So hang out with us over on the Freedom Scoop Media Group once again. Otherwise, we will be back here later on tonight with the Red and Ed Show. Make sure you're there and go ahead and check that out. Or we'll be back here tomorrow with more Contemporary. Until then, I'm Jay Edgar, and this is Contemporary. Take care.